The SEMS MIM, a truly international master's in management degree. Welcome to the 161st episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can high-five the person next to you and shout, yes, I'm in. And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Now, the Master's in Management degree has been growing in popularity over the last several years. More companies are hiring more MIMs, more applicants are applying, and more Master's in Management programs are opening up, specifically in the United States, where the last several years have seen new programs at Kellogg, Ross, and Cornell. One of the older and more established Master in Management programs is the SEMS Master in Management, ranked number 4 in the Financial Times ranking of MIM programs. Launched 25 years ago, SEMS now embraces 30 different educational institutions from nearly as many countries, and this year's MIM includes 1,217 students from 66 countries. Our guest today is Executive Director at SEMS Global Alliance, Roland Seekers, and he's here today to share information about this fascinating program. The quadrilingual director studied in Germany and France and started working for SEMS in 2002. He became the executive director in 2012. Roland, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Hey, Linda. Good to speak to you.
I'm delighted to speak with you today. Now, let's start with a few basics. What is SEMS?
SEMS is a cooperation between some of the leading business schools in the world and some multinational companies who all together offer a joint program in management. It's a pre-experience program, so that means it comes directly after the bachelor's, and those 100 entities have all come together to shape this program and its joint curriculum in international management at those 30 campuses.
What are a few of those campuses? Where are they located?
We have a European heritage, so you would have London School of Economics, Paris, HEC, but recently we've also added National University of Singapore, Hong Kong UST, or Western Ontario, for example, Brazil. So it's on 5 continents now.
Any place in the U.S. or not in the U.S.?
The interesting thing about the U.S. is that masters are really just starting to pick up.
That's right.
It's really an MBA market. So we are looking for a U.S. partner, but we have so far a one per country policy only, which we certainly would break for the U.S., but we're just looking and waiting for the right partner. So we're looking at some of the top 15 schools to really go for the Master's in Management and then to partner up with them.
Okay, great. Can you give us an overview of the SEMS program for its MIM students?
Sure. You enroll at one of the 30 campuses, and it's a one-year program. So you do it straight out of bachelor, and that's the idea of a pre-experience program. And then you go for a term at home and then a term abroad. That's an integral part of the studies. And then a third, which is the internship term, which also has to be abroad. So there's a little, quite a bit of emphasis on international exposure. And then the students have this curriculum, which is the same for all of the countries, but with quite a bit of liberty to integrate sort of local specificities, because we believe it's important that in such a program and in such an environment that we live in, students learn about cultural differences. So every single member school and the companies that are associated with it give a little bit of that extra flavor of the place that you're at. And then you graduate after a year and you get 2 degrees. You get the SEMS degree and then you also get degree of the school that you become associated with when you enter the program.
I had understood, and I was actually a little confused about this on the site, that the SEMS program is actually for people already enrolled in another master's program. Is that correct or was I misunderstanding something?
No, it's it could be correct, but what you need to know about the master's market is that it's pretty fragmented and differentiated, which can be interesting because it gives you a lot of choice. It's not maybe as clear as the MBA market is just yet because master can be a year, but it also can be 2 years. So our member schools have everything from 9 months to 24 months, depends on market conditions, depends on educational laws, etc. So the in a two-year program, which is pretty much the standard in continental Europe, you integrate the SEMS program in year two. But in other places, such as IV, Hong Kong, or Turkey, it's a year. So you get 2 degrees at the end of that year period. You get the local degree and the SEMS degree. So wow. You enroll two both at the same time at the beginning.
And are most of the times the other degree, is it related to business, or is it more of a complementary kind of degree, like let's say engineering or something not economics, accounting, business, or is it usually closely related?
No, it has to be related to business because for us it's an advanced degree, so we go deep in the kind of engagement that we do with the subjects. So it's got to be an economics, business-related degree.
Okay.
But you can have a different background from your bachelor time.
That was actually also one of my questions. So the undergraduate degree could be in biology or a STEM field or
absolutely
history or whatever.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's fair to say that our companies really like those profiles where you've really, stick your head into two different worlds. You did whatever, computer sciences, and then you do a business degree. The companies really love those profiles. So we do encourage that. However, when you start them in, and you're not enrolled in a two-year master's, so you do one of the one-year master's, you do have a little bit of a requirement, something like a major, so a year equivalent of economics that you must have done in bachelor studies, because otherwise it couldn't be advanced.
Right. So it is possible to finish this associated master's plus the MIM program in 1 year, depending upon the requirements of the original master's program. Correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. But if you do it combined, it's certainly going to be an intense year.
That's what I was thinking. It must be really, really intense.
Yeah.
What distinguishes the MIM from the MBA?
It's the timing, mostly. Okay. MBAs are typically requiring some work experience, 3 to 5 years, sometimes a little bit more. There's early admissions, something like that Harvard, for example, has experimented with. I don't think it works that well because the MBAs, just have a different point in time in their life when they consider this this qualification, and they're just in a different mindset. So the MIM students are young. They could be as young as 22 years. Mm-hmm. They're just straight out of bachelor. And I think they're probably still more flexible in a way. They're less experienced work-wise, but that's really the main difference: age and when it comes in the point in your career.
Okay, what distinguishes the SEMS MIM from, let's say, the London Business School, Duke, or Kellogg MIM? Is there, first of all, obviously all those programs are different in and of themselves, but is there some? Is the international component the distinguishing feature, or is there something else?
No, it certainly is. I mean, if you think that this is a program where 100 institutions contribute to shaping its curriculum, there's just nothing like that in the world by far. The second best I know is a joint MBA with 5 schools. We're 30, and we integrate the 60, 70 companies and NGOs into the curriculum as well. So this is why it creates so many opportunities for your studies, because you're not just bound to the 2 schools where you do your academic studies. You can actually also take credit at other places, and you get to see, you get to be exposed to students from 30 different campuses and from about 70 nationalities. And I think what it makes as a kind of experience is that we don't really have a home, a geographical home or a dominating culture, because the schools you mentioned, LBS, for example, Duke, they're still rooted in the UK, they're rooted in the US for good. But we don't have that. The world is our home, really, and it's kind of reflected in the spirit and the kind of experience that you get when you do the program.
Now, you mentioned that there are 30-something schools participating in the SEMS program, but there are 100 entities that are involved in it. What are the other 70 entities?
That's companies. It's about 65 companies, 65, 70 companies plus five NGOs. And what they do is that they really help us get the experience real life. So the companies participate in every aspect of SAMS. They participate in the selection to the academic program. So it's not only academics or admin people. There's HR managers that select you to this study program. And if they say, you know, you're great, I mean, you're clever, you have good grades, but even in a year from now, when you've completed this program, I'm not going to hire you. There's something that just doesn't work, you know, in your personality, in your maturity, whatever, then you're not admitted to this study program, which I think makes us pretty special. And then they obviously contribute to the teaching itself as guest speakers. In term two, there's a mandatory consulting, student consulting project, and which is half of the workload. So you do that within companies. It's part of the study. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they hire our students. They're also engaged in our governance. So it's really right from the start in 1988, companies and schools founded SAMS.
You'd mentioned that you have semester one kind of in the home school, semester two in another country, and then there's an internship. The internship is with one of these 70 companies or entities. Is it in a third location, or is it in the second country that you know that you attended school in?
I mean, SAMS students do anything, really. I mean, it's really nice when we browse through all the diplomas when it's graduation time and we see what they've done. It's incredible the places they've been to. I mean, some of them do the somewhat standard route. They go abroad and then they stay on for an additional 2-3 months and do their internship there. Others have a very specific idea. They do work in developing countries or help out with members of commerce in but most of them obviously go to companies, and for example, many of them would choose to go to the U.S. because it's a great market, it's important, and we don't just yet have a school there. So we're pretty open there, as long as it has a certain responsibility level, it's quality proof, their experience, and they really learn something practical about the working world. They can go wherever they want to.
Okay, great. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what you're looking for in the application process to the SEMS Master's in Management program? Obviously, experience in terms of full-time work experience is not a qualification. So what else are you looking for?
Right, that's exactly it. So these are young students who come right out of the bachelor's. So we want them to be bright and have a good academic track record, obviously. But what we're also look at is an interest and an appetite for the international, for different cultures, for you know going out of the comfort zone, living in a different place, indulging in different ways and different cultures and behaviors. So a certain degree of maturity. But I think what you also need there looking for is clear ethics and a very clear compass of what is, you know, what's good and right, and what's not, and where borders are, and at least the capability of reflecting upon those challenges in the world, and certainly also desire to perform and excel and compete. That's part of it.
Okay. Now, can you describe also the application process? I mean, the kind of where in the application process is somebody going to have the opportunity to show a sense of you know, the maturity, the sense of the ethics, the international, I guess you can see what they've done and see if they're internationally oriented or multiculturally oriented. But can you tell us a little bit more about the application process itself?
Sure. So the application is carried out by our member schools. The selection criteria are all harmonized, but the schools really apply the application at the 30 campuses. You submit your papers and what's required, GMAT, etc., and then you're selected to an interview and or an assessment center. An assessment center could really be like what you would encounter in a job interview. So you could be put into a group discussion where you have to defend a position and play a role with opposing views in a team situation. You could be asked to give a presentation about the topic that you're just given on the spot. And then you certainly and always have as a closing part an interview which would include a company representative and a school representative to really understand your motivations, understand who you are, where you're coming from, why you want this, and what makes you the candidate that would not only fit to this program, but which actually also has the potential to develop into a great international manager.
It sounds like a pretty demanding interview process. Now, do they have all three components? Does everybody go through all three components, the group discussion, the presentation, and the individual interview, or is that dependent upon the school that they're applying to?
It is depending on the school, yes, mm-hmm. If they just have the resources to invest that. But since the criteria are the same, in the end, we want to see them all met. So there's different ways of getting it.
And does the application vary at all depending upon the school that you're applying to? In other words, do all SIMS, MIMS applicants have the same application, or does the application vary depending upon the home school?
The application will vary. I mean, the selection to the SEMS program doesn't vary that much because the criteria are the same. But as I said before, for very specific reasons, you're always part of a national and a local degree as well because you apply to two degrees, right?
Right.
So sometimes the school may have specific requirements that you also have to meet when you apply to the school.
Okay. And do students have to write essays for the application, or is that a personal statement? What recommendations?
You could have all of those.
So it really varies.
Yeah. It varies also because, you know, in every country there's also different legal aspects that need to be respected for applications.
Sure.
But I think what all of them will want to see is that you have not only done well in your studies, but that you have actually also had an interesting kind of exposure to the rest of the world and to your, you know, being part of communities and done that extra mile, and that you're just an interesting person with a potential to be developed further.
Right. And you mentioned the GMAT. Is the GRE ever accepted, or is it always the GMAT?
No, it could be the GRE, and actually some schools won't even ask for it, because in some schools, some countries, it's actually not allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
I know a lot of applicants who wish that were the case in their country.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you... graduates of the SEMS MIM program get jobs? You mentioned the companies, but what industries do they tend to go into? What kinds of functions do they tend to go into?
It is somewhat varied, but since this is a general management program with an international perspective, you do see quite a high turnout with big multinational companies that give you those job opportunities to rotate to different functions in different countries, that's for sure. But here it could be anything. I mean, we have quite some FMCGs, but recently we have some of the technology giants from Silicon Valley, which have become quite popular. And you always have consulting, which is very, very big for our students. But now the big trend is also that many of them want to start up, even if they're that young.
Really?
So you really have it all, I think. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of the largest employers of the SEMS MIM grads? Which companies can you say?
Yeah, sure. Google, L'Oreal, Henkel, which is a German FMCG, Deloitte, McKinsey. Some of those.
All right, the usual suspects. That's great.
Yeah.
Is the MIM usually a terminal degree? Do you have any stats on the percentage of grads that go back for an MBA later on?
We're just conducting a research with one of our corporate partners, which is Universum Consulting, which is a company on employer brands. And it looks like this is starting to become somewhat interesting, but it's not a huge trend. I think the idea is when you take a MIM degree that you actually accelerate your career, right? You differentiate from the bachelors, from the legions of bachelors, and you may already have done 5, in some cases even 6 years of studies. So, you know, if you have that kind of exciting international accelerated career, it may just be that you don't need an MBA anymore. So I think the percentage exists, but I think it's not that high.
Right.
Below 10%.
Okay. I would assume that one of the advantages of the MIM is that, A, you take a degree earlier when your opportunity cost is lower, even if you have if you end up doing a two-year degree, and then you don't have to do an MBA.
It's exactly right. I call it return on educational investment. And if you see that this degree is getting really popular in Asia, for example, mm-hmm. You know, where you sometimes have still take one-child families, for example, in China, where really education is the key thing that you give to the next generation, and then the family pools the resources for that one champion of the family. You want that investment to pay off right away, or in not such a long time span. And then there's so many people with interesting bachelor degrees. You need to differentiate. So this is why this is really, really becoming super interesting, especially for Chinese bachelor students.
Okay. Now, I know you don't have a school based in the U.S. You do have Ivy in Western Ontario, Canada, and I guess there's the London School of Economics in London, and obviously there's other schools elsewhere. What if an American student hears this podcast and thinks, gee, this sounds like a really neat program? I mean, can you give some advice, since you don't have a school here in the U.S. at the moment, how would you advise that American student to proceed?
Well, you basically have the choice of 30 locations across the globe, right? So mm-hmm. it really depends on what you want. Is it speed? Because maybe you have to pay off your debt for the bachelor's. Then mm-hmm. you should search for a school that's only running a month for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Is it that you have an interest in a specific industry? Then you look at the member schools, because some of them are very strong in some of the industry sectors. For example, you would have Stockholm School of Economics, which is very strong in finance, or Bocconi in Milan, or you would take our member school, ESADE in Barcelona, who are very strong in things like marketing, for example.
With luxury goods.
Exactly. Or you could, you could even choose by location, right, and say, mm-hmm. I want to learn something, and repetition is important, so you look at the Financial Times ranking, but I'm also very interested in whatever, Portugal, because of its history or because of my family background, or because I like the country. And then, and the third aspect is price, obviously, because this may sound very strange to U.S. ears, but some of these degrees are actually free of charge.
Wow.
It's zero by law, right? By law.
Really? Wow.
Zero.
Even for international, even for foreign students?
That could be a little bit more difficult. If you're not mm-hmm. an EU passport holder, sometimes it's more difficult to get access to that, but in some countries it's just forbidden to charge for education. But the prices are anyway very different. In the US, I think such a master program costs about $40,000.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And in Europe, you could get a pretty good quality degree for as little as 12,000, if this international tariff applies.
Right.
And there's really good schools there, like, Rotterdam and others who don't charge much more than that.
And what about, that was very interesting. Let's say you have somebody senior either in the United States or elsewhere. What advice would you, again, your college student senior, maybe even a rising junior, so they have this upcoming academic year, what advice would you give them to prepare for an application to the SEMS MIM?
Travel, I think.
Okay.
Because we would like to see someone who's seen a little bit of the world at least, and he doesn't get surprised and overwhelmed and get a culture shock by being exposed to the world, because that's what SEMS really is. And actually, you would have to brush up your languages, because you need to enter SEMS with a foreign language knowledge, which is not basic level. So you would have to have a language, because we believe that that's super important. And that's also what's proven by the first results of our survey, that companies really like to have those profiles that not only understand some of the cultural challenges, but actually are able to interact in the languages.
And I was looking at the site, so you have to have, I guess, more than elementary proficiency when you come in with two languages, but you're expected to learn a third, is that correct?
That's right, but the third is more of a cultural immersion, so you can actually start it off at level zero and just get some basic training. The idea here is if you say come from the US and you have a good knowledge of, let's take Spanish for example, then we'd really like you to consider learning a couple of words in Chinese or Japanese or Swahili and get yourself exposed just to a completely different way of thinking. Because speaking a language also means thinking in a different way.
Right.
And it opens your mind.
Yes, 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 for sure. What question would you have liked me to ask that I didn't ask?
I would have liked to maybe just say a couple of words on what I see coming up in the U.S.
That's great. What do you see coming up in the U.S.? And I'll even add to that. What do you see coming up in general for SEMS?
Good question. Well, in the U.S., I think that the market for the MBAs is certainly saturated. There's just too many players there. And you can only survive with a standard regular MBA offering if you're Harvard and the rest of the top 10 bunch. If your brand is good but not great, you lose money with an MBA. So you'll have to keep it, that's for sure. But you'll have to diversify your offer. And it can be MOOCs if you can pull off a model by which you can make money of that. But it could also be masters, and it could be specialized masters. There's some great stuff out there. Some of our member schools offering things like petroleum economics or aviation finance can be great if you have industry that's linked to your place geographically. Or you offer a MIM, a general master's, or an international master's one, because that's an offer to your own bachelor's. It's particularly interesting when you have a bachelor's school yourself, so you offer them a fifth year and offer them to differentiate. And I see a lot of this developing, and when you speak to U.S. deans, I mean, it's really all about new business models, masters coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned Duke, but there's also Kellogg. There's Cornell, which is launching one.
Oh, really?
So there's more. Yeah. There's more coming. In general, I think we're entering an exciting age. I mean, all this VUCA thing, volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, is about. The world is just a messy place. I love it. I mean, I come from political science, so I think this, new rising powers and disruptive economies, shared economies, 3D printing, self-driving cars. Seriously, this is changing us. It's changing business, and it will have to change business schools for good. And I think the ages of the wise man standing there and delivering the knowledge is just gone forever, and that's great news. So business schools will have to change. The role of the teacher will have to change. I don't think that MOOCs will rule the entire place. That's not the point. But I think we'll see more clever combinations of different learning bits and pieces and modules put together in a very individualized manner for you as the learner. And I think that's great news for learners.
Yeah, well, even in thinking about some of the shows that I've recently had, some of the interviews I've recently had, there is tremendous innovation in higher education. Some of it is seems to be pretty static, schools holding on to what has been. But there's also tremendous innovation. So in the last couple of months, I've interviewed a new MS in Global Commerce program. That was episode 149 from UVA. I interviewed a fairly new one-year Juris Masters program at Emory. I interviewed the director of MIT's new Masters in Business Analytics program. And I don't remember, there are always some new programs coming up, but I don't remember the speed of introduction that you're seeing now. And obviously the MIM, both in terms of employment data, in terms of the growth of the program numerically, it's really just been the last 10 years in the United States, but it's been growing phenomenally, both in terms of recruiter demand and in terms of more and more students enrolling. And
absolutely. Yeah.
One of the interesting things about it is obviously that it's the business program. There are, I think accounting might be close to it too, but it's one business program where men and women are just about at parity.
Yep. That's for SEMS as well, 50-50, yeah. That's also good news, by the way.
Yeah, right. Roland, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been fascinating learning about the SEMS MIM. Where can listeners learn more about this program and the degree and applying and all that good stuff?
It would be SEMS.org, C-E-M-S.org.
Okay. All right, we will include a link in our show notes to SEMS.org, and the show notes can be found at accepted.com/161. Again, it's accepted.com/161. And we'll link to the SEMS MIM as well as to other relevant resources and earlier shows that may be of interest. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 161st episode. If you found this show helpful, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or Zune so you don't miss any of the upcoming shows. We have shows focused on fascinating programs like the SEMS MIM, as well as admissions practices at specific schools, test prep, career guidance, financial aid, and much, much more of interest to graduate school applicants everywhere. So don't miss out and subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Zune, or whatever is your favorite podcatcher. You can find subscribe links at, you guessed it, accepted.com/161. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.